This week in KMA Land, City of Red Oak faces legal issues. Longtime Mills County Supervisor Richard Crouch declines re-election bid. Mills County Conference Board holds hearing on county assessor's firing. Shenandoah and Red Oak Burger King's closing. KMA Land gets winter weather wake-up call. And news from the Iowa State House. I'm Mike Peterson. Revelations regarding two lawsuits facing the City of Red Oak top the news this week. One lawsuit involves a dispute connected to the city's airport. By a 3-1 vote at its regular meeting Tuesday evening, the Red Oak City Council approved a resolution directing the city attorney to file a civil action lawsuit against Randy Cooper, seeking reimbursement for hay taken from Red Oak Municipal Airport property. Red Oak City Administrator Lisa Cotter says the city is seeking over $17,200 for haying activity believed to have occurred from 2021 to 25. Cotter says while the Airport Commission had an informal agreement with Lee Kingsolver, who had been producing and selling hay from some of the airport grounds and providing a reimbursement, it was later discovered that Cooper had been taking over some of the hay operations over the last few years and had not been providing a similar reimbursement. Cotter says she and City Attorney Bree O'Hearn then approached Cooper to negotiate, suggesting the over $17,000 figure.
We determined that based on the number of bales that were taken from acreage adjoining that land. So however many acres Lee Kingsolver had and how many bales we were paid for those number of acres, we then extrapolated and deducted the number of bales that should have been able to come from the number of acres that Mr. Cooper took hay from. We had conversations with him. He presented us with some receipts for expenses. We did offer to decrease the amount by $2,500 for his seed expenses because we do pay for the seed for Mr. Kingsolver. He indicated at that time that he was not willing to pay the city.
Connor says the recommendation to pursue a civil action would allow courts to decide whether Cooper must pay the city back. While there's no formal agreement with the Airport Commission, Connor says Kingsolver had been providing a per-bail reimbursement. But commission members were not aware that Cooper was also taking some of the hay and selling it elsewhere.
We understood that within a few days of selling the hay, he was obligated to come in and pay $30. I went back in all of the Airport Commission minutes. There was never any approval for anybody in terms of Mr. Cooper to be able to sell that hay. If you talk to the commissioners, Terry can attest to that. They would have thought that they were sending Randy out to talk to Mr. Kingsolver. Nobody understood that Randy was then going and taking the hay and selling it on his own and keeping the money.
Councilman Levi Franks cast the lone dissenting vote. Franks says he was unsure whether they had a case because there was no formal agreement in place to reimburse the city.
So the lawyer said it was all right then, because whoever our lawyer is, they thought they had a case then.
You can't take hay from the city land and not reimburse the city. That's correct.
Cool. If they don't have a contract saying they did about it, I guess I don't understand how they can do it. So I'm not a lawyer.
Connor says the Airport Commission is working to get more formal agreements in place for the topic expected to be on the commission's agenda later this month. Due to the timing, she says bidding out leasing the airport grounds for farming won't take place until later this year, which typically includes both hay and row crops.
You can't bid it out now, so you have to give it to the people that have it now. So Lee would be given all of the hay to be able to hay whatever land. And we're talking between Tony and Lee about which land is best to do for hay and which is best to do for crops. The crop, you just pay it per acre and get somewhere around $150 per acre. And then based on the bales, you give us so much per bale. Although the cost of hay, the price of hay is going down. And so Lee has asked if there could be a reduction for future years in the amount that he pays.
Councilman Terry Cuppy abstained from the vote due to also recently serving as an airport commissioner. Cooper has also filed a lawsuit against the city seeking to have a no trespassing order issued against him last month voided. Another lawsuit pits Red Oak's former city administrator against other city officials. Ethan Hewitt has more.
Iowa District Court records indicate that Kyra Smith filed a petition late last month against the city, former Mayor Shauna Silvius, former councilman and current Mayor Tim Fridoff, and former councilman Brian Bills. Well, Smith was hired as the city administrator in May 2023. And the lawsuit alleges that she was later treated differently because she is a woman, denied pay increases, and ultimately forced out. Well, after resigning on April 15th of 2024, Smith filed a civil rights charge with the Civil Rights Commission in November of that year, and the commission issued a right to sue letter on October 30th of last year. According to the petition, Smith accepted employment in Red Oak, At the same time, her husband continued working in Kansas until he could find similar work closer to Red Oak due to the city's residency requirement that Smith reside in Red Oak during her employment. In the lawsuit, Smith alleges that in September 2023, Bills told her husband she would never get a raise because she has already made too much money for a woman, with the filing further alleging Smith was paid less than male city administrators in comparable Iowa communities. The filing also states that during a December 2023 performance review, the focus shifted to Smith's personal life rather than her job performance, including criticism that her husband was not living in Red Oak, with the petition further alleging that Smith was denied the city's typical six-month raise and a cost of living increase she says she was promised when she took the job. The lawsuit also points to a March 2024 infrastructure pre-construction conference where Smith states she joined a video meeting and discovered that other invitees described as men were gathered in person. Records say Smith complained that the exclusion was discriminatory and that she was later confronted by city leaders in an unannounced meeting and pressured to apologize for raising concerns. Smith also alleges she reported a city department head who told her he did not respect her as a woman and challenged her authority. The petition claims Silvius acknowledged sexism existed, but then admonished Smith for reporting it, and that Smith was told opposing discrimination would make things worse. Records indicate that the situation escalated into what Smith described as undermining her role and authority, and that she was constructively discharged, resigning in April 2024. Smith is seeking a judgment that would fully and fairly compensate her, including claims for lost wages and benefits, emotional distress, and other damages allowed under the law, along with attorney fees, costs, and interest, plus any equitable or injunctive relief the court deems appropriate. While the petition does not list a dollar amount, it does demand a jury trial. A copy of the full petition filed by Smith is available with this story at KMAland.com. Ethan Hewitt reporting.
A mainstay in Mills County government called it a career this week. Mills County Supervisor Richard Crouch confirmed to KMA News Tuesday morning that he will not seek another term on the board in the upcoming primaries and November general election. Crouch says due to a serious illness in his family, he decided to withdraw his candidacy for supervisor.
My primary focus at this time must be with my family, and I believe this is the most responsible course of action for both my loved ones and the residents of Mills County.
Currently in his 24th year and sixth term on the board, Crouch was first elected to the county boardroom in 2002. Crouch says the decision not to run again was a difficult one.
I like what I do. I like helping people. But there's been some problems that arose, so that, I think it's time to bow out and, spend as much time with your loved ones as possible.
Crouch's position is the lone seat up for re-election of the Board of Supervisors this year. Individuals seeking to place their name on the June primary ballot can return nomination papers to their respective county auditor's office between March 2nd and 20th. Sandy Winton also announced plans in a Facebook post late last month to seek the GOP nomination for the Mills County Supervisor's seat. Public comments regarding the Mills County Assessor's recent termination were heard at a special meeting this week. The Mills County Conference Board held a public hearing Wednesday afternoon regarding the termination of longtime County Assessor Christina Govig late last month. Govig, who had served as county assessor for 22 years, requested the public hearing for the conference board to receive public comment and statements regarding her firing. Lawyer Ryan Daisy represented Govig during the hearing and outlined the five reasons given for her termination, including increasing valuations in the county and budget increases. Daisy says while some county department heads have a good deal of discretion over their department's functions, county assessors are more of a cog in a machine following a state manual.
The county sheriff has some discretion in what he chooses to, apply the law and arrest. The county attorney's office has some discretion, specifically prosecutorial discretion, in how they're going to prosecute and what they're going to prosecute. Unlike those roles, Chris has a book and she applies that book. That's the biggest part of her job, and she's tested upon it regularly. And she's always passed. She's always been 10 to 15% above the minimum she needs to be at. And she has a very good record of making sure when she gets those documents back from the state, they say, no change, you're good, your assessments fit right where they need to be.
Daisy argued the reasons for more drastic valuation changes over the past few years are more due to increased housing prices and an update to the state manual in 2020. Daisy says other reasons given by the conference board for Govig's termination circulated around her duties as the board's clerk, including meeting minutes, procedures, and how votes are conducted. Daisy argues that more of the responsibility for meeting organization falls on the board chair rather than the clerk to the board.
I guess I'm asking you, how confident are you that in the accusations alleged against Chris, that it was actually her role at all for the things that you're complaining about? Or is it truly the chairperson and in a larger situation, the conference board itself, that was supposed to be making sure the conference board meetings were being run in accordance with the conference board rules?
The board also heard public comments from a handful of residents, most of whom expressed concerns over past experiences with the assessor's office during Govig's tenure. Mike Bowden, who lives north of Glenwood, argued the assessor has some discretion over valuations, particularly through property classifications such as agricultural versus residential. He cited his time on the county board of review from 2017 to 23 when residents came in concerned over the classification of their property.
And they would come into the board of review every year and they'd line up and we'd have to discuss it. Some of them were legit. And this goes the other way. There are many properties out there that are currently ag that in no way, shape, or form should be ag. She does have discretion at assessment. Classification, obviously, she can look and see what the property is used for. She didn't ever do that. She came out to my property once where she saw cattle and then still claimed it was not ag.
Conference board members took no action following the hearing and did not provide any input on the matter due to their decision occurring in closed session. Following the meeting, Conference Board Chair and Supervisors Chair Richard Crouch told KMA News a county examining board has been assembled, including one appointee each from the supervisors, mayors, and school district representatives to handle the search for Govig's successor. Some bad news for fast food lovers this week. Beginning next week, residents in at least two KMA land communities won't have it their way. Shenandoah's Burger King is among those slated to shutter its doors Monday. Tamara Herrera Alberto is one of the managers of the Shenandoah fast food restaurant and confirmed the development to KMA News early Wednesday afternoon. Additional media reports indicated the Red Oak location was among those set to close Monday as well. Just when you thought it was safe to go outside, KMA Land received a winter wake-up call Thursday afternoon and evening. Heavy snowfall was reported in a narrow band stretching across eastern Nebraska and western Iowa. Clint Etkeder is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service's Valley, Nebraska office. Etkeder recapped the storm totals from across the region for KMA News.
It's a pretty narrow band that had the heaviest snowfall, stretching up from like Lincoln to Omaha, anywhere from 6 to 8 inches. There are a couple localized reports near 9 inches near Bennington, Nebraska. Over into Iowa, it was maybe a little bit less, especially down toward the Shenandoah area. We're still waiting for some reports to come in, but we have some reports of kind of 2 to 4 down in there. Then if you get over like toward Atlantic Iowa, we had 5.3 inches.
Thursday's winter event marked a topsy-turvy week in terms of weather. Etkeder says the storm followed a long dry period in the weather with unseasonably warm temperatures.
We just had a pretty strong system that came in and, a lot of moisture moving in, even though we were dry the day before. There was enough moisture moving in that helped us get that amount of snow. It was a pretty impressive snowfall system.
Despite the latest event, Etkeder says snowfall is still below normal across most of the region.
We were over a foot below average for this time of year, looking at the Omaha data here. So total snowfall, now we're up to 14.7 inches, I believe, and normal, at least through this date on February 20th, we're usually at 21.1. So we're still quite a bit short on the snowfall front.
Thursday's winter weather meant a rare snow plowing opportunity this winter for Page County's secondary roads crews. County engineer J.D. King tells KMA News the county's plows were out in full force at around 5 a.m. Friday, following that winter event the day before. King says road conditions were variable across the county Friday morning.
I've got pieces of pavement that are 100% snow and ice covered. I've got roads where one lane, the eastbound lane's snow covered, the westbound lane's mostly dry. I've got miles where both lanes are snow covered. I got miles of clean and dry pavement north of Clarinda.
King says the relatively calm weather allowed his crews to perform other tasks.
Recently, it's been unseasonably warm, very, very pleasant. We've been cutting trees and piling trees and brush and mowing and working in the roadside since there hasn't been snow to push. We have crews working on other things.
Well, treacherous road conditions associated with Thursday's winter precipitation kept other public safety agencies busy. The Iowa State Patrol was among those responding to stranded motorists and accidents during the winter weather that rolled through the region Thursday and into the overnight. Statewide, from 9 a.m. Thursday to 7 a.m. Friday, the patrol says troopers responded to 277 calls for service, including 202 motorists assist and 75 crashes, 11 of which involved injuries. Trooper Ryan DeVault, public resource officer for the patrol's District 3 office, told KMA News that road conditions quickly began deteriorating mid-Thursday afternoon.
We started seeing kind of that snow, ice mix, depending on where you were at in southwest Iowa. But it escalated very quickly from just kind of coming down and melting on the roadways to then freezing to where the issues we saw just about everywhere that had problems were ice pack underneath what ended up being snowfall on top of it.
Fortunately, during the 9 a.m. to 7 a.m. time frame, DeVault says no fatalities reported along the roadways. He notes that a multi-vehicle accident occurred near the 7-mile marker on Interstate 80 near Council Bluffs, leading to a multi-hour closure.
They're not 100% confirmed on the number of cars that were involved there, but that portion of Interstate 80 in the Council Bluffs area was shut down both directions for anywhere from 4 to 6 hours. I think we finally got the westbound side opened up again about 12:30 last night. So obviously there were lots of issues, I think, that kept occurring overnight.
Vault adds Interstate 80 was also closed several times in Adair County due to semis sliding off the roadway. Following negotiations, the Iowa House this week reached a breakthrough on per-pupil K-12 public school funding. By a 58-35 vote, primarily along party lines, the full House passed an amended version of Senate File 2201 to include a 2% increase for supplemental state aid, which aligns with Governor Kim Reynolds' proposal. The number also falls between the Iowa Senate's initial 1.75% SSA rate and the House GOP's proposed 2.25% rate. Republican Representative Dan Gelbach floor-managed the legislation. Gelbach says the compromise bill would amount to a state cost per pupil of $8,148, a $160 increase per student from the previous fiscal year.
Altogether, this appropriates $105.9 million more dollars when taking the 2% SSA, the budget guarantee pickup, and the $7 million paraeducator pay altogether, which would amount to a 2.7% general fund increase from the prior year.
In addition to the $7 million for paraeducators and support personnel pay, half of the $14 million requested by the House GOP in their initial proposal, the bill also provides an estimated $42.2 million in state funding for schools placed in the budget guarantee and caps transportation equity payments at $1 million. Democrat Representative Heather Mattson proposed an amendment calling for a 5% SSA, but it was shot down by the GOP majority. Mattson says a 2% increase won't provide enough to cover schools' operating costs, including state-required minimum teacher salaries.
This bill is survival mode funding. In some cases, it's not even that. There is a saying that a person can accept anything when it happens by degrees. The Republican-led legislature has told Iowans for over a decade that this is the most they can do, that this underfunding is responsible, that it's reliable, and maybe it didn't seem so bad at first, but year after year, it got worse by degrees. Iowans should no longer accept this irresponsibility.
Council Bluffs Democrat Josh Turek says the 2% SSA is entirely insufficient. He adds Republicans who argue the measure is increasing public school funding are misrepresenting the proposal, which he says does not keep up with inflation.
We hear that we are spending the most that we have ever spent on public education, but that completely ignores what every single Iowan knows. Every single thing is more expensive, and this funding increase doesn't even keep up with inflation. Our public schools, they're tired of this act. Struggling families and communities across Iowa, they're also tired of this act. We must stop insulting Iowans' intelligence by ignoring inflation.
While the majority of KMA Land state representatives voted in favor of the legislation, State Representative Tom Moore joined all Democrats in opposition to the bill. Speaking on KMA's Morning Line program Thursday morning, Moore expressed disappointment over the House's proposal, saying it's lower than the level he wanted for area school districts.
I've always been a kind of an outlier within some of my caucus. I went in saying we needed to have 3%. After talking with my superintendents, that was a reasonable number. 3% was what I've always spoke for more than what our leadership and others want. But yeah, I was a 3% guy.
Moore called the negotiations on SSA at the State House a game.
It's a game. I tell you, the conversations that take place and trying to negotiate a number. And even though the SSA percentage number is the main factor, there are other factors that are involved here. We talk about parapay. We talk about state per pupil average. We talk about transportation equity. All of these things come into a part of the negotiation.
The SSA level now goes back to the Iowa Senate for its approval. Montgomery County officials question proposed tax abatement for two mobile home park lots. Discussion regarding abatement for lots of the Oak Point Estates Mobile Home Park in Red Oak took place at Tuesday's County Board of Supervisors meeting. County Treasurer Jackie Porter says the request comes from the new owner of the former Villa Village Park, who is attempting to clean up the property.
I will say that over the years, when Villa Village had it, things were not properly taken care of. It sounds like they've had issues with an on-site manager off and on when they first took over, and this new owner is actually trying to make a difference in the mobile home park to try to get things cleaned up and mobile homes taken care of, as well as, I'm assuming, screening their people that live there as well.
Porter says one proposal is for a mobile home in Lot 40. She says the new owner requests tax abatement totaling $2,242 for an abandoned mobile home. Porter says the owner hopes to renovate the mobile home at that spot and sell it to a new buyer. Supervisor Bryant Amos says the county may set a precedent in granting the abatement.
If they're left with total garbage, I would be more lenient to abate. But that fact of the mobile home might stay there, that's different. I mean, this is why a lot of realtors, unless they've changed a lot of things, wouldn't deal with a mobile home, because basically it was more like selling a car.
Supervisor Mike Olson expressed similar concerns about granting abatement to a property being flipped.
Well, I think what I would like to personally like to know is who's the lawful owner of the trailer. And if they are going to try to flip it, that's fine, but I would not be in favor of abatement if they're going to flip it. You know, the first $2,242 of whatever they get out of that when they sell that trailer should go to those delinquent taxes.
Porter says tax abatement totaling $845 is also requested for Lot 31 at the Mobile Home Park. No action was taken following considerable discussion. Board members suggested that Porter contact County Attorney Drew Swanson for his input on the matter. U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley was among those hearing concerns from rural health care providers about changes to Medicaid under the One Big Beautiful Bill. Last July, President Trump signed the sweeping legislation into law. Among other things, the bill aimed to reduce health care spending by nearly $1 trillion, primarily coming from Medicaid, by implementing new work requirements for recipients, eligibility reviews, tighter restrictions on provider taxes levied by states, and state-directed payments. During a swing through southwest Iowa Tuesday, Grassley met with local officials at CHI Health Mercy Hospital in Corning for a question-and-answer session, where the proposed spending cuts took center stage. Grassley told KMA News following the session that reform of the social safety net was needed.
We had situations where 6 4/10 million people were on Obamacare as well as Medicaid, and you don't need to be on both. Or we had illegal aliens on Medicaid, and we shouldn't be paying for those things. So we're making some changes, and they were expressed concern about those changes. And I think it's legitimate concern at this point. Hopefully it's not so legitimate 3 years down the road.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. That wraps up this week in KMA Land. Be listening each week at this time for This Week in KMA Land. For more information all the time, log on to KMALand.com. You can also hear this program in its entirety. For the entire KMA News team, this is Mike Peterson. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. This Week in KMA Land, a presentation of KMA News.